800-450-9743.
Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry is leadership and performance psychology both on and off the playing field. And there's no one better to bring it to you than Nick Lowry, who after being cut by 8 teams 11 times, became the most accurate kicker in NFL history. It's all about performance under pressure, in competition, and in life. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome to Head Games Radio, Sirius Satellite, Sports Byline USA, and American Forces Network. You know, we're lucky to have some amazing people on this show. And as an example, yesterday we had, I think, the best announcer in football, a guy that put HBO's Inside the NFL on the map, Len Dawson. In addition, we have, I think, somebody I'm a little proud to say is not only a neighbor, but I think the most insightful and entertaining announcer in golf, and Gary McCord, who just came down off the mountain in Vail. How are you, buddy?
I'm training. I'm getting ready. I don't know what for what, but I'm getting ready.
Well, you know, we're talking about training camp. I wanted to inject just a little quote from Len Dawson from yesterday's show about training camp itself and ask you about what that means to you as a golfer. Here's Len Dawson on what is happening now with a new head coach. It's a classic situation there up in River Falls, Wisconsin, with the Kansas City Chiefs with a new head coach, and everybody's optimistic.
At practice today, this morning, I observed some things. One was some of the veteran players like Trent Green, like Will Shields, and like some of the offensive linemen, and Tony Gonzalez, they did not practice. They were out there, but they weren't in full pads, and Trent Green, for example, was not throwing. They're limiting his throwing to just one practice a day when they're practicing twice a day. And so this is telling the veteran offensive lineman, I know what you can do, I want you rested, I want you ready for the games. And the young people, I was talking to one of the linebackers, and he said, I really love Dick Vermeil because he drafted me last year. He said, but I'm going to tell you about Herm Edwards. I'd kill for this guy because they really like him because they are involved, that he is really involved on the defensive side of the ball. And that makes sense because he was formerly a cornerback in the National Football League. And so what he has right now, he's shortening the practices. You know, they're not out there more than an hour and a half. But what he wants something accomplished in that hour and a half. He wants the tempo at a high rate, you know, and he has clocks around the field in the afternoon so that the players can see, okay, this particular period, we're going to go for, say, 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it is. The clock is there. They can see it. And so he doesn't want a lot of conversation between plays. He wants those plays run, and he wants the tempo like you would do it in a regular season football game. And so to me, that's a very good idea. But he has won over this football team, the players on the team. As a matter of fact, the players are trying to get in touch with Willie Rolfe. He has not returned their calls. They want him to know that, you know, he would really like Herm Edwards and how he treats his players and how he wants to win and how he's going about doing that.
How many shows do you get to combine golf with football training camp? Gary McCord, as you listen to Len Dawson talk about training camp and the importance in that culture of the big, iconic, you know, field general, that is so different. You have to become, I would think, your own coach, your own field general, your own guy that decides whether you're going to have a clock, whether you're going to, you know, have shorter practices that are more intense, whether you can go hiking up the mountains. Do you ever think about what lessons you would employ if you were the head coach of your own football team?
Well, you know, it's first of all, you've got a bunch of guys out there, and you got different individual personalities, and all these guys are not taught the same way. So you've got to figure out how to best get to each individual, and then set up some kind of curriculum. Hopefully, you know, never being obviously a football coach or anything, but being around sports, you've got to set up some sort of process that they're going to learn, they're going to get better, and they're motivated. And different coaches do it different ways. And, you know, it just depends. Obviously, they don't last too long if they don't win, so that's the bottom line. But most of these guys will figure out. You're talking about Herm Edwards and Mike Shanahan. All these guys have figured it out. They know how to win. They know how to motivate, and they know how to get their players to perform, you know, at a level that they don't think they can perform at. And that's, I think that's the whole key.
Well, when we come back, Gary, definitely we're going to talk about Medina. We're going to talk about Tiger Woods. I want to talk about, though, this phenomenon you talked about last time we had on the show, which is so many players now are bringing in one and two and three different swing coaches, mental coaches, nutritionists as well. And sometimes it's better if you're just the guy that has the internal discipline to go up on the mountain yourself and put yourself through that. When we come back, Gary McCord with thoughts about Tiger's latest example of his newfound confidence, the new Tiger, the driverless Tiger, and what it means for the rest of the field. We'll be right back. Now, there's a question a lot of us think about sometimes. It's when we just had breakfast and we're going to our morning constitutional, and you're looking at the day and you're thinking, do I really want to put myself through this? Whether it's the game on Sunday or whether it's the next Buick Open, if you're Gary McCord, perhaps. Here's something Gary said, you said in our last interview.
Let's take the situation with Sergio, okay? Being off in Tiger's playpen. And this is where the guys have so much, they have so much anxiety because now they're coming in to Tiger's world, which Tiger is the only one that kind of roams this distant land, which is major, last round, last group. Okay. All of a sudden, you saw what happened with the cameras going off on the camera phones.
Right.
Okay. Every hole, these things are firing out. Tiger has been through that. Sergio goes through that a little bit, but the guys that come up to play with him, they're not used to the circus.
That's what he said last time. Is it even more true now? I mean, with each week now, look at the confidence this guy played with. It was a different Tiger. Last time at the British Open, it was so emotional. This time, it's basically he looks like he's free again to be himself.
Yeah, I mean, that same situation, getting back to that, Lucas Glover played with Tiger the last round at the Buick Open last week in Flint, and he shot 72. You could see he just couldn't handle it. There was just people, and it was a zoo, and you know he couldn't focus. These guys just get out of their rhythm, and boy, that's one of the intangibles that Tiger has, that he's been through it. He's been through it constantly, and somebody that comes up and does that, they're not ready for it. So he just pounces on them, and it's another one of his criteria that he's got that everybody else is going to have to get up there and play with him a lot to get used to it.
And the thing is, he's got his own swing coach, but in reality, the shadow of Earl Woods is still there. And you've heard about it before, that the great players, it's almost as if they internalize their father figure. They find a way to sort of absorb the lessons from that person. As you look at Tiger, do you think maybe that's what's beginning to happen now, is that all of those incredible, consistent, intense coaching sessions, thousands of them over the course of the last 25 years, are internalized. He doesn't need the help that other people now are searching for and realizing they really don't have the answers.
Well, yeah, he's employed those from an early age. I don't know if they're particularly now, Nick. I think he established that a long time ago. But when he first started, I think those lessons were huge. When the expectations were there, and people wondering about Tiger, and he just focused on what his dad and told him all those years, and then he just, through maturity, he's gotten better, and he has taken those lessons and taken them even farther. So he's, it looks like he's going to go on another one of those runs that he did when he was 7 out of 11 majors back a couple of years ago. It looks like he's got, as he calls it, he owns his swing now. And it looks like he owns this golf swing that he and Hank Haney have been working on now for about a little over 2 years.
Hank, to me, has been, and I don't follow it the way you do, but Hank has been a little bit in the background. What is the unique contribution that Hank makes? Because, we talk about all the time on this show, if you are giving over too much power to that head coach, whether he's Herman Edwards or Hank Haney, you've got to take responsibility in that fourth round when Tiger's opposite you and the cameras are going off. At some point, you've got to own all of that.
Well, he's Tiger, as a golfer, you need a set of eyes, and that's what a Tiger can go figure this stuff out himself, but it might take a longer period of time to do that versus having a coach there the whole time, especially during the majors and preparing for the majors, to go, okay, this is a little off here, we need to work on this and that. And that really helps. That helps expedite the whole thing, and that's what guys are looking for on the tour. You've got to get to a situation that you're doing this thing very, very fast. And it's Darwinian roulette. I mean, the faster that you can adapt to your environment, the better off you are going to be, and the longer you're going to live in that environment. And that's what these guys do now. You know, that all this stuff is done real quick at the moment, and that's what a golf coach does. He's there for the moment.
Well, let's talk about Medina coming up here. Records are sometimes distractions as well. 50th win, only 82 is the all-time record with Sam Snead, and Nicklaus, only 73. That surprised me. I thought he had more than that. Not that that's bad, but records sometimes can be a distraction as well. Are these the kinds of things that just fuel Tiger, or does he even worry about those things? Do they take care of themselves if he gets his swing right?
Oh, serious fuel. Serious fuel. He was, you know, he knows exactly where he stands. I was reading an article the other day, you know, talking about, you know, where he stands in the all-time. This was early in the year, and somebody asked him if he knew about Sam Snead's record for all-time victories, and he said, yeah, 81. He said, no, hold it. And it's 82 now because of the British Open, and sure enough, the British Open, PGA Tour made a retroactive to count the British Open as official PGA Tour event, which bumps Sam's from 81 to 82, and actually took Nicklaus from 70 to 73 because he'd won it three times. So Tiger is right on top of all of these different records, and he knows where they are, and he knows, you know, what he's got to do to beat them. I mean, at his regular pace, let's say 5 years, or he's won five tournaments a year, it's only going to take him 6 years to get 30 more wins to tie Snead. I think he'll be 36 years
exactly.
of age with 82 wins. I believe Sam won his last one at 55. And this kid will only be 36 with 82. So we're looking easily at 100 in case something
100.
Happens. 100. I mean, when he won 50 the other day, I sat up there in the tower and I just went, that's unbelievable. He's 30 years old. He doesn't play that much. You know, it's not like he's out there. He's playing, you know, 28, 30 events like most of these guys. You know, he's playing 17 to 20 events. You know, a winning percentage of better than most football teams, without a doubt. He's got to be 25%, something like that, is winning percentage on the tour, which is unbelievable. One guy against the field. So you know, the more I watch him, the more I my mouth just drops. I can't believe what he's doing at this young of age.
Listen, when we come back, Gary, if you'll just give us your prediction. You know, it's kind of sad to say this, but if
prediction,
Tiger's not going to win. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's sad to say this, but if there anybody has a shot, who would it be? We'll be right back with final thoughts from our good friend Gary McCord on Medina and the path forward with Tiger clearly in control.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
You can always look at it at that. And I've played with guys that did, that absolutely burned themselves out. I've also seen guys like Tiger, like Phil, who were spotted all over the leaderboard when they were, you know, 8 and 9. And they're still going great. So
who is going to continue to go great in the midst of this onslaught, this holocaust of dominance on the field? Who's got a shot in Medina in a couple weeks?
Well, right now Tiger is back. If I'm going to get guys to bet, Tiger is a field bet now. I'm giving him 3 or 4 to 1 against the field. You give me 3 to 1, I'll take Tiger Woods, and you got the field. Because otherwise, you can't get a bet. You can't get anybody to bet. Tiger's playing too well. If Tiger's not in the field, the two guys that I think are playing the best, Jim Furyk is playing very well, and so it looks like Chris DeMarco is playing well. Now let's put them with Tiger. They don't have the arsenal Tiger does. I mean, they're going to have to play beyond good to win if Tiger is playing the way he is right now. So it's not like Ernie's playing well and Phil's playing well and Retief's playing well and Sergio's playing well where they could give him a shot. They're not. All those guys are not really playing well right now. The only guys that are playing well are a couple of guys that are kind of the little, you know, the street fighters, Furyk and DeMarco. So That's who I'd take, but I mean, I think it's just unanimous. It's got to be Tiger.
Final thoughts is what is unique about Medina, Gary, as you look at this course with its history, that benefits him or that hurts him?
Well, the thing that's, that helps him, it doesn't matter where he plays. He's playing that well. You've seen it the last couple of weeks. He wins over the British hitting the driver once, hitting all irons and beats the guys. Then he comes to Buick Open, totally different golf course. It's wet, it's lush, and he's driving the ball down the middle 8 miles. Every once in a while he'll drive it crooked. But he still beats him. So he's beat him there. He's beat him on that particular golf course, the type of the British where it bounces a lot, another one where the ball stops dead after you hit it. Smushy golf, as I call it. Now we go to Medina. He won there. He won there in 99. Things going to help him. He's won there before. He's the best player in the world. The thing's not going to help him. There are trees all over the place. And if he takes a driver out and starts trying to hit it hard, he might get in the trees, you know, and help the field out. That's the only thing I can think of. But he's playing so damn smart now that I think the three wood and the, you know, long iron will be out there and play a bunch of the times, and he'll just whittle the field down with consistency again. It's fun to watch, but I believe he's on another one of those rolls again.
Well, you're on a roll, my friend. My strategy would be to have you with a microphone about 50 feet to the right of him, cracking jokes, see where we can get him off his game. I think that's throwing apples at him like my fans trying to do.
Ferdy does that already, so we've got that covered.
And it still doesn't work.
Well, it tried to work last year. Just for fun, they had a contest to see who could expel the most flatus. Got it on the golf course. And Faraday was up 5-2 going to the last round, and then Tiger got into the round and he quit doing it. So that's what they're doing out there. They're having some fun. And it's the only way to go.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, it's great having you on the show, my friend. Appreciate it giving us, you know, who would talk about Flatus as a strategic contribution to the golf strategy, but you did, and I appreciate that.
You got it.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
See you later.